Well, Adam Tomlinson writes a lot of stories about Ottawa. The reporter has worked for the Algonquin Times, Frank, Nepean This Week, Capital Extra, and The Citizen. Now he's working for himself. Adam Tomlinson has just published an independent book of short stories. It's called We Were Writers for Disastrous Love Affairs magazine, an excellent magazine from what I hear. Adam joins me now in the studio. Hey, Adam.
How are you doing?
Good. Very nice to see this this brand new book. You must be pretty excited.
I am. I'm incredibly excited. I finally bought it back from the printers a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of riding the wave.
A nice little small handheld, kind of almost like a chapbook.
Well, exactly. It started as a series of zines or like little chapbooks, and that's kind of the traditional size, is the quarter of a page. It's exactly a quarter of an 8.5 by 11. And so I wanted to keep that size to kind of keep that feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about your writing background for a second, because you've worked for so many different publications. What do you think is most worth writing about in Ottawa?
Most worth writing about?
Yeah.
I feel like just the day-to-day life and the mood of the people that live in Ottawa, because it's such a strange place that's propped up so much by government work, but then there's this the high-tech work that's kind of out on the fringe, literally and figuratively. And just the way that kind of interacts, especially downtown, is where it all kind of meets together, right? Where people blend and they drink and they have coffee and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of what, I mean, that's what makes any town interesting, but that's what Ottawa really has going for it.
Yeah. And you've covered a lot of that as a journalist writing for these different publications. Where did the fiction writing come into play for you? When were you doing this?
Before I even started journalism, actually. I first started writing this book in like 1999. I was still in high school, and it took me a while to get through the first one, and the rest came a little quicker after that. So it predates any journalism I've done, but taking journalism in school kind of sped it along, and I think made my writing better.
Mm-hmm. And then you went ahead and had it published yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that process like?
A lot easier than I expected it to be. I shopped it around to actual publishers to do it for me, and no one was really biting, and I just kind of got tired of the whole thing and figured out, I'd been in independent bands before, and we just got sick of the whole thing ourselves and just decided to put records out ourselves. And I decided to try the same thing with a book, shopped it around, found a printer, and just rolled with it.
Hmm. Now, let's just go back to your journalism background for a second, because people may not know you were the guy behind this, but you used to work for Frank magazine, right? Mm-hmm. There was that famous Frank article that you were responsible for. Why don't you tell us about that and the line between fact and fiction there?
Well, there was very little fiction to it. We had decided, terrorism being the big subject on everybody's mouths for years now, we had been going to Parliament Hill a lot, talked to MPs and such, and saw security being surprisingly light, really, considering it was, you know, the head of government. It was actually Jimmy, the guy I worked with, who came up with the idea of just seeing how lax it was, how far we could get and how much we could do. And so we just did. We waltzed in one day and just decided to see where we could go inside Parliament Hill, Center Block, West Block, and into the Langevin Block, which allegedly no one can get into unless they're an MP, essentially. We went into Paul Martin's bathroom, just about all of it.
Took some photos, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was the one who remembered to bring my Frank t-shirt, so that's me in all of the photos. Jim just forgot his t-shirt, so he was the photographer. And we just played around.
Well, you know, while we have a Frank reporter here, a former Frank reporter, maybe I can ask you this question. What is the line between fact and fiction when it comes to that publication?
Again, there was very little fiction involved. I mean, when telling a joke about things, we obviously played it up a little. We exaggerated the joke, but I mean, it was factual. Researched it all like it was a regular magazine or newspaper, which it was.
Right.
To a certain degree.
Right. Okay, that's a conversation for another day, Adam. Back to a book of stories that you've written, you've put out there. How nervous were you about publishing this, or how vulnerable do you feel once your fiction is now out there for people to see?
I didn't feel nervous at all until it got out there, until the first day I got it back from the printer, and I was walking around downtown, going bookstore to bookstore, asking them if they'd, you know, give me some shelf space. And that's when I really felt out there, was, you know, expecting maybe a rejection. And I had a lot of luck. A lot of people have been really receptive. And so that kind of built up my confidence enough to do things like do a reading at my launch party a few days ago, which I'd never done. I'd never done a reading before. Things like that.
And how'd that go?
It went incredibly well. A lot of people came out. The record store was great about being flexible. My friend's DJ, Jim, who I worked with at Frank, mm-hmm. he spun, and my friends in band, they played, so it went really well.
So the first experience with self-publishing went well, but if Random House or McClellan Stewart suddenly showed up with a big contract to do a follow-up to this book, how would you feel about that?
Well,
would you give up the independent stream?
I'd certainly grab the contract, because the idea for putting this out was that it would start a publishing house that I could put other friends' work out on. And so I put my own out first, because you don't have to pay the writer. But if I got a big contract for my own writing, I could use that money, or at least some of it, to fund the publishing house a little better.
Okay. Well, watch for that. Now, before we let you go, Adam, take us out with a bit of a reading and just set it up for us a bit.
All right. Well, I'm going to read the title story, which was written just to kind of as an attempt to kind of bring the disparate ideas together and kind of tie it all together into one idea. Her eyes were burning from crying. She was sure that the fact tears are so wet was the only thing stopping her eyes from catching on like tinder, spewing flames from their sockets, lighting up the quiet room and singeing her hair and anyone within 10 feet. The upside to that being he is within 10 feet of her, sitting right across the table. How many times is this going to happen to me? He stared at her intently, the only thing that mattered in the crowded restaurant, figuratively swallowing his own tears that went down, figuratively, as smoothly as you'd expect saline eye discharge to do. When he met her, same as all his other lovers, she was a wreck. Insecure, depressed, hopeless, and, incredibly, crying more than she is now, singing, I'm through with love, I'll never fall again, like in a Woody Allen musical. He was her emotional fixer. He told her things would be all right and showed her that they could. And now, despite the waterfall of teardrops cascading onto the pressed white tablecloth that separated them, she was fixed. She doesn't need me anymore. They'd each done this so many times, gone through these steps, gotten so damned good at it, they could have written a book on the subject, or at least a lengthy magazine piece. Yes, it would be magazines, he exclaimed suddenly, startling her and everyone else as he stepped up on his chair. We will be correspondents from the front lines of failure, reporters of the ravaged heart. Let us do for amorous ineptitude what Hunter S. Thompson did for vaguely medicinal narcotics. She brightened as she took his cue and he took her hand. She climbed onto her own cushioned podium. We will fill columns and columns with our diaries of disaster, she replied, but less to him than to the world, to their public. We will dutifully report our cautionary tales. Our headlines will shout, Dear reader, here but for the grace of the God of love go you. They joined hands, knowing it was for the last time, and addressed their newfound audience. And the magazine, he said, before staring into her blue eyes just once more. She looked back, finally smiling again and flushed with renewed purpose, and they called out in unison, We will be writers for Disastrous Love Affairs Magazine.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Thank you.
Well done. That was great. Adam Tomlinson is author and publisher of a collection of short stories, newly minted from his own publishing efforts. We Were Writers for Disastrous Love Affairs Magazine. And you can visit his website to find out more. 40wattspotlight.com. 40wattspotlight.com. We're at 27 after 8.